By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks exists to glorify God by the pursuing of truth in God's Word and applying it to the issues and challenges that are facing the church today. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church of Hudson, North Carolina. For more information about the church, visit ambassadorbaptistchurch.org. I'm your host, Matt Baker, and on the mics today with me, as always, is Nathan Phillips and our pastor, Robert Setzer. We're back after taking a few weeks off, and we're glad to be back with you here on Ambassador Talks. Gentlemen, it's been a while. Nathan, you're a new father now to a little girl, and our family and our pastor's family have been on vacation, so we've been able to rest up, and now we're back in the saddle with you to talk about a very important question tonight. I know that friends that I have in ministry have faced this question, guys, and maybe you've encountered this question in the workplace, or you as a listener maybe encountered this question and didn't know how to respond to it. I've been in each of these situations, so I can speak from experience when I say it's a tough question to answer adequately, especially to someone who is not a follower of Christ. So here's the question of the hour. Is religion to blame for the world's problems?
Matt, this is an interesting discussion. It's something that if you're on very many message boards or sites online, you're going to run across this question in apologetics and all kinds of different situations. I ran across this question in a very interesting way. This came about because of a movie that recently came out. And we're not plugging a movie or anything like that, but the recent film Wonder Woman released in theaters last week, and it stars a Jewish woman, an Israeli woman, who is obviously from Israel, and is the forerunner of this movie. She's the star. She's getting a lot of praise for this role.
And might we add, she's very pro-Israel.
Very pro-Israel as well. And there's a lot of stuff going on with this movie as far as some themes and stuff like that. Some people want to make it a feminist manifesto. I don't think it's that. But there's a lot of things going on with it. And it was banned in the country of Lebanon. Mm. So that's the interesting part of this story. And while that's no big loss monetarily to the movie, it raised a big discussion and always gets people's attention when a big blockbuster movie gets banned somewhere. So the question is, why did it get banned? Well, there's some debate over that, but there's a reason why I pointed out she's an Israeli who served time in the Israeli army, and she's done various things for her home country, and obviously Lebanon being Muslim. So it was banned. A lot of people said it was because of strong female roles and wanted to make it not about religion and not about this, but it seems pretty clear to me, Pastor, that it comes from a strong hatred towards Israel and Jerusalem and all of the things that go along with her nationality.
Well, I agree with you, Nathan, and I think you actually touched on two, actually, of the reasons right there that was rejected in Lebanon, both from the standpoint of this woman's religion, she being Jewish, and then secondarily, the fact that she is a woman, mm-hmm. and their roles are, in that culture, are not to be elevated above that of the man. They certainly, in the Muslim culture, they have a very, as I understand it, a very subservient role to the man, to the male. And so I think in all honesty and fairness, those people should recognize that rather than just the religious aspect.
So if you're wondering, well, why is it that you're bringing up this movie and this discussion? Well, here's the comments made about that and this instance that we're talking about here. It started and sparked a huge discussion on religion and how the world would just be better off if we didn't have religion, and that because of her nationality and the religion of Judaism and the religion of Lebanon, that, you know, these people in this country can enjoy things, and thus, in a huge argument, it follows in their mind that religion's to blame for pretty much everything in the world.
And And Lebanon is only the beginning of where it was at. I mean, you can look at America on social media, and I cannot tell you the number of tweets that I have seen over the weekend that had to do with religion and why the world would be better off without it.
Right. It's not just this movie as far as a current event goes. It's also the Manchester attacks.
And then the attacks in London, on yep. London Bridge, and in the market, and on the subway over the weekend as well.
So right. then, would it be fair to say then that the atheist has never perpetrated any type of evil in the world? So is that what they are espousing, Nathan?
Well, here's some interesting quotes from some atheists here that I dug up, and you don't have to dig very far, but they are addressing religion, organized religion, and just really the Bible in general. Here's some of the statements some pretty famous people make. Sam Harris, who is a atheist author, says, "Theology is ignorance with wings."
Wow.
Richard Francis Burton says, "The more I study religions, the more I'm convinced that man never worshipped anything but himself." Dan Brown in the Da Vinci Code said, "Nothing in Christianity is original." He also says this in the Da Vinci Code. At this gathering, he's talking about the Council of Nicaea. "Many aspects of Christianity were debated and voted upon. The date of Easter, the roles of bishops, the administration of sacraments, and of course the divinity of Jesus. Until that moment in history, Jesus was viewed as, by his followers, as a mortal prophet, a great and powerful man, but a man nonetheless, a mortal." Richard Dawkins says about religious extremism, "The take-home message is that we should blame religion itself, not religious extremism, as though that were some type or kind of terrible perversion of real decent religion. Voltaire got it right long ago. Those who can make you believe absurdities can make you commit atrocities. So did Bertrand Russell. Many people would sooner die than think. In fact, they do." There is a lot
wow.
of atheistic and a lot of people who are
maybe
in
a little double talk there, too.
Well, there's a lot going on there.
And bringing down the level of academia, Bette Midler tweeted and said, "Men and religion are worthless."
Well, there's always some nice nuggets of wisdom
right.
from the people in Hollywood.
Right.
But the fact and the matter is this, is that most people, especially from the atheistic ilk, blame religion for all the world's problems. They blame it for hate. They blame it for war. They blame it for all this extremism. And I think, you know, we need to address it. I think we need to set the record straight in the fact that this isn't what the Christian message is at all.
Okay, so then how do you account for the purely atheistic Stalinist Russian regime and the millions who were killed there? Or how about the communist Chinese takeover under Mao, and the multitudes that were killed right there? I mean, we're talking about atheistic regimes. I don't think there's any question about that right there. They're not espousing a religion, except for the religion, as you said, of humanism. That's what the atheist is.
Mm-hmm.
They are not non-religious or all religious. They most definitely are religious. It's just, as you said, worshiping themselves.
It's a set of beliefs and a belief that nothing created something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting to me that everyone is always just quick to blame religion, and really, they really mean Christianity. Because let's face it, the world is the first to defend things like Islam.
Mm.
Oh, it's a religion of peace. They're just getting it wrong. But you Christians, you're crazy. You're the one that started all the wars. Look what about the Crusades. I mean, I don't know how many times you hear that brought up. Yeah, but what about the Crusades? Okay, well, I mean, it wasn't a bright spot of history, but I mean, you know, there's always things wrongly done, but that doesn't mean that it necessarily flows from Christian people who really want the work of Christ to be shown in the world today.
You know, I believe this right here. And I believe it definitely for Christianity, but for any other type of a religion. You know, I think you believe, really what you believe is how you live, okay? So let's take Islam. Right? You can say all you want to, it's a religion of peace. I have to go by what I see. and not just one isolated incident, Matt. What we're seeing, wow, where? I mean, goodness sakes, in England, in the United States, in much of the Middle East has been decimated. So I'm going by what I see. And I say the same thing about Christianity. Don't tell me you're a Christian unless you're living it. And we're not talking about perfectionism, nothing like that. But Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. We are to be followers of Christ. You can't just, you know, name your own game and just put the Christian label on it.
So the question that I brought up before we got started is this. Do we have a responsibility as genuine followers of Christ, those who are trying to follow Jesus? Do we have a responsibility, gentlemen, to answer this question? Or is it something that can be not ignored, but maybe set away? Or do we have to have an answer for this right now?
I think we absolutely do. And I think a lot of times we punt to a wrong answer for this. We kind of step back and we say, Christianity is not a religion. And that was brought up on our message boards on Facebook by a friend of the podcast, Michael Lyons. And he commented, and a lot of other people did, and they said sin is to blame. And obviously, sin is to blame for a lot of the religious extremism and to blame for all the world's atrocities. Obviously, it is. But the thing that a lot of people want to punt to is the fact that Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. Well, as Michael brought up in his comment, there's a very poignant verse, and it's James 1:27.
Yes.
And James is talking about religion, and he's talking about if anyone thinks he is religious. And then in 27, he says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father. And obviously this is in reference to visiting orphans and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unstained from the world. That's James. That's James's thoughts. If Christianity wasn't a religion, then James wouldn't have called it a religion. Well, I don't think we need to punt, Pastor, and say, well, it's not a religion at all. It most certainly is. It is the religion.
Yeah, sure. Pure religion, undefiled, James says. Visit the fathers, you know, et cetera. And, but Matt, you said, should we try to answer it? Can it be? I have to say, can it be answered only if people, both parties, both sides, will have a logical, reasonable, and rational discussion. And you cannot have that with some people because they are so locked in to what they want to believe, they cannot have a rational discussion. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about according to the basic laws of logic.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Most of the people who are asking this question are saying this statement that religion caused these problems, had a problem with religion before this ever happened.
Right. And it is a fair point to say that Christianity is a relationship. Of course it is.
But not just a relationship.
But it's not just that. It is a religion. There's orthodoxy. We've talked about that a ton of times in this podcast, what that is. And you can go back and visit some old episodes if you want to hear us talk about that. But what orthodoxy is and what we believe and why we believe it, those things are very important. That's a religious system. I mean, that's what it is. But it is a relationship. But I also want to posit, too, that it's not just a religion or a relationship, but it's a historical claim. That's what Christianity is at its core. And God instituted these things based upon fact. And that is the key marker, and what all these atheists will not talk about in their books. They won't address all of the historical facts. If they do, they twist them, just like Dan Brown, to the fact that, well, no one believed that Jesus was God. Well, I'm sorry.
Yes, it is.
The early writings of the Christian church are pretty plain. You don't have to go far in Paul, which you can trace back to about 35 AD, about 3 years after Christ's death, depending on when you think he died. But you can trace all of these things and say, this was a very early claim. This is not something that happened 300 years later. So we have a historical claim in Christianity that differentiates us from other religions. Islam comes around about 600 years after Christ's death, Mormonism later, Jehovah's Witnesses later. I mean, you can throw anything in there. You can throw Hinduism, Buddhism, Shintoism, whatever. It doesn't matter. because they're not based upon historical fact about a man who died and rose again, according to 500 people and 12 disciples and Paul himself. The point I'm making here, Pastor, is that we've got something to hang our hat on, and that's why it's different than other religions.
Absolutely, no question. Well said right there. And but, you know, it's like this. Like we were talking about a while ago, any type of religion is going to espouse a doctrine, mm-hmm. and belief system. Now, are their adherents going to follow that? That may be something different, okay? So when these guys say, you know, that religions cause all the ills and the evils and the problems of the world, they're just kind of just shooting in the dark. They're just kind of running their mouth, you know? And so, but I don't want to talk about other religions because I really am not that adept at discussing those, but I do want to talk about Christianity. And there have been some you know, some pretty nasty things done in the name of Christianity. Mm-hmm. You know, as you go back to the Crusades, that does not say that those people, you know, were Christ-honoring, Bible-practicing followers of Jesus Christ.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on there and a lot for a different discussion, but as far as the Crusades go, but you're right. The focus here tonight is on Christianity, and you know, some people who might be lost in listening to this might say, well, you've just kind of skirted around the issue, and you haven't said, well, why isn't religion to blame? Well, I think you have to look at what we've said as far as historical claims. I think you have to look as far as what we've said about facts and religions and what God based things upon, and then you have to look at the life of Christ. You have to look at what we believe and who we look to as God, and all of this religious extremism, all of these wars, all of the things like that, that's not purported in the Bible, Pastor.
You know, I think a lot of times we don't want to get real honest. And what I mean by that is that the heart of man is basically evil and corrupt. I'm talking about my heart and the heart of all of mankind, all right? And at the very core, at the very center. And this is one of the reasons we need Jesus. This is why we need to be redeemed and forgiven. And that's what he offers. But you go back to it, and man left alone is just, he's a bad dude. He's evil.
Right. And yeah. One thing that we have to remember, and that those who would bring this question up have to remember, if they look at the Bible, if they look at the story of Christ, the story of the gospel, the story of the Christianity and history of Christianity, as opposed to other religions, Pastor, is that Christianity is one of the only religions who has a crux on the value of life.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about just the unborn, we're talking about life in general. Why would Jesus give his life? Because he wants to say he saved others.
Well, and that was some of the other comments brought up online, too, is that, you know, they want to talk about the atrocities and all of this, like, so-called hate, and certainly does breed hates. Things like Westboro Baptist that,
right?
Yeah, are neither a church.
Do you have to call him Baptist?
Oh, okay.
Do you have to call
I don't
him
want
church?
To. I don't
Thank
want to,
you.
I don't want to call him anything. I don't even want to mention him. But in this top discussion, we have to, because that is...
That's what's pointed to.
Mm-hmm. But you have to consider too, and like I said, this was brought up online too. You have to a lot of good that Christianity has done, and I mean that's uncountable. But when you think about things like hospitals, orphanages, seminaries, Ivy League schools, I mean all of these things, Pastor,
adoption ministries.
Sure. I mean all of these things. I mean,
and Nathan, you said a while ago you touched on history. And historical basis, you can go back in history. This can be traced back, tracked back, you know.
Exploration.
Absolutely.
Exploration. I mean, all that stuff was based upon, you know, religious freedom and Christianity, really, when we want to boil it down. I mean, all of these good things. And, you know, pointing to the good doesn't negate the bad, but you can't just say all religion is evil and all religion tends to... create atrocities. That's just a false claim, and false religion does that, and that's our claim tonight, is that false religion does those things, that it is evil because it's based upon man, it's based upon our wants, and it's not based upon God and his character and what he revealed in Jesus Christ.
It's very true. And I mean, what a timely discussion this is, as we look at some of the recent terrorist attacks. You know, we take the value of life away. I look at some of the things like Islam. They say it's a religion of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've had people come
Manchester,
here and speak about Islam.
How do you go in and kill right. children? I mean, they can't exactly. even fight back. They can't defend themselves. How do you, you know, I don't get it. I don't get my mind wrapped around that. How do you go? There might could be a justification if ISIS, Taliban, etc., wanted to attack American or British troops, but children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how within one religion? Here's my question: speaking of Islam specifically, how can one religion say we're a religion of peace, and then those within claiming the same religion say death to everyone mm-hmm. who does not subscribe mm-hmm. to Islam?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the point.
And that's one side of the pendulum. The other side is, okay, given your fact that, you know, say I accept the fact that you say that religion is evil and that it breeds atrocities, and atheism is the way to go, then where do you get morals? Explain to me how you got
right.
the feeling that those atrocities are evil.
And all they can say is, well, you know, it's basically the feelings of the community.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Alan Dershowitz in his book Rights from Wrongs. We learn what atrocities are by looking at them in the past and saying, oh, yeah, that was bad. Well, how do you know it was bad 300 years later? What would that matter? What would time matter in that instance? I've never heard someone give me a satisfactory answer for where they got morals from without God.
I mean, a Hitler. You can't blame all of the atrocities of Germany on just Hitler. A lot of people followed him. A lot of men were marching to the tune, you know, of their song. It was just, you know, it was. That's just the way it was. So,
like when we opened up the program, what God did Hitler or Mussolini or Stalin or Mao Zedong, what did they serve?
Mm-hmm.
Serve themselves. It was all for personal gain. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for any type of spiritual gain. And if we don't have God, if we don't have a religious standard, and underline that word religious, because that's the whole point. If you don't have a religious standard, then you have no ground to stand on for morals or morality. You can't say that killing's wrong. Because if you're atheist, it's survival of the fittest.
And all you have to do is go back to the Nuremberg trials.
Yeah.
You know? And then the German defense was, man, we're just obeying orders, just following what we're told to do.
Pastor, I remember, and this is just, you know, me and the way I think, but I remember, you know, preaching here in chapel one time and me giving the illustration to the kids about this, about atheism and mm-hmm. and that way of life and survival of the fittest. And I remember seeing a woman driving a brand new, and she was a pretty elderly lady. She's driving a brand new Mercedes, like AMG, like top of the line. And she had a Darwin fish on the back of her car. And I said, when I was speaking, I said, well, if she's going to live by that motto, I can get out of my car, yank her out of hers, take it for myself, and that's okay.
Survival of the fittest.
You can't stop me. You can't stop me from doing it. So what would and if you say, hey, you're stealing, that's wrong. Why?
Why?
So without a religious system, without orthodoxy, without scripture, I don't know how you can even say things are atrocities.
That's right. So our answer, in short, is not going to be, you know, religion causes the problems of the world. We would say false religion is a cause of a lot of problems of the world.
Pure, undefiled religion cures.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Amen. Amen. That's a great way to end this tonight, when you say Christ is the cure.
Amen.
To these things. And if you have a question about what we're talking about, we encourage you to email us at ambassadortalks@gmail.com. We want to answer your question the best that we can, to the best of our ability, using the truth of God's word. And if you have a question about what we're talking about or a comment, let us know. Email us. Comment on Facebook when we post the episode. And we'll read your comment on here and discuss it as well. Gentlemen, It's great to be back with you again, mm-hmm. and back in the saddle here, talking about these things. We do this because we love it.
Mm-hmm.
We love to talk about these things, and we love to discuss these in a manner that would honor the Lord, and to figure out what God would have us, how God would have us to respond. And that's the, I think that's the biggest thing that we have discovered with this, Nathan. We have dug into God's Word and talked about this. We have found how God would have us to respond to these things.
Absolutely.
Using His Word and the truth of His Word. And you can too. Dive into God's Word. He has a Word for you each time you open His Word. And we are inside the Word. Outside the box, but inside the Word, Nathan. And you've been listening to Ambassador Talks. Look for this episode. Subscribe to us on iTunes at Ambassador Talks. And look for us on Facebook as well. We'll see you next time.